Welcome, everyone. It's a great privilege for me to come and speak to you. Women that come together that want to grow. There's nothing more important than wanting to grow. We came down to the world to grow and to gain tremendously. And whatever you do, it's wonderful and it's amazing. Every step, the smallest step you take, God loves it to no ends. Because we're here in the world to grow, and just coming here, getting together, it's a tremendous step. And Be'ezrat Hashem, you're going to reach heights. You're going to reach tremendous amounts. We're holding now before the Yom Tov of Shavuot. And there's so much to learn. There's so much to gain. We know that on Shavuot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, the Torah HaKadosha. He gave it to us. And there's a lot of rules. There's 613 rules. And that's only Midoraisa, that's only what the Torah says. Plus, there's many more that Chazal gave us, further generations after. They said you have to keep other rules, and so on and so on. And I find that many, especially the younger generation, has a hard time not doing the rules, not following the mitzvot, but doing it happily. It's difficult for them. It's hard for them. They do what they're supposed to be doing. They keep Shabbos, they do what they're supposed to be doing, but many times we find it hard and difficult. It's a burden, it's difficult. And we have to get to the bottom line to understand why is it hard to do it. Of course we do it, we do what we're supposed to be doing as much as we can. But we want it to be a pleasure. It's not supposed to be difficult, it's not supposed to be hard, it's supposed to be comfortable, it's supposed to be something we want to do. And if we see that it's hard for us, we have to figure out why is it hard for us to do it? Why are we feeling the stress and the difficulty? Throughout all the generations, the great people waited for Shabbos to come, waited for the mitzvot, waited. And sometimes we say, oh, it's hard for me. I can't. It's difficult. I have to do it. If not, but the pleasure many times is not there. And we want to understand why is it so difficult and what must we do to feel better about it, to want it, and to take it and accept it happily, excitement over the rules and over all the mitzvah that the Torah gives us. So let's understand what Shavuot is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and gave the Torah on Har Sinai. We all know that. What is it all about? What was the ceremony? Let's understand it, and we'll be able to get it ourselves clear and give it over to our children as well, that they should love doing and following what the Torah says. It's brought down, there's two contradicting, Chazal, our rabbis teach us two contradicting messages. Once it's brought down, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he went to the Jews to give them the Torah, he went to other nations, and he offered it to them as well. He went to Esav, he went to Ishmael, he went to all the other nations. And what did they say when he offered, do you want it? What did they say? No. We don't want it. They were not interested. He actually even told them what it says. He hit them in their weak point, as we say in English. What's the most difficult thing for each nation? The Arabs were stealing. The Germans was killing. Everyone in the weak part. Do you want it? What does it say? This is what it says. Too hard for us. Forget it. He went to the Jewish nation. They said, yes, we want it. We are excited over it. That's what it says. That's what happened. One place. Another midrash, our rabbis teach us that the contrary, the opposite. It says that when the nations watched Hashem coming to us and giving us the Torah, they were jealous. Which one was it? Were they jealous or they didn't want it? Contradicting. We'll explain what it's all about and we'll get clarity, Be'ezrat Hashem. But I'm going to ask another question. By the way, if you want to eat, you could eat. Doesn't disturb. Eat, drink, whatever you want. We're going to ask another question. The only holiday, the only Yom Tov that we have that there's no action of a mitzvah is Shavuot. Sukkot, we sit in the sukkah. Pesach, we eat matzah. Rosh Hashanah, shofar. Every one of the holidays has an action that we do, something. Chanukah, we light candles. Purim, Megillah. Shavuot, there's nothing. Cheesecake is not part of it. It's just a side thing, okay? This is not something, there's nothing we really do. How could it be a holiday that Hashem gave us, a chag he gave us, and there's no action that we're doing? Why is it the only holiday that there is no action? We always like doing actions. We are not only Jews at heart. Some people say they're Jews at heart. They're Jews at heart. They keep Sukkah in their heart, Pesach in their heart. I don't know why they didn't get a heart attack yet. They have so many blocked arteries, but they're Jewish at heart. We are not Jewish at heart. We do actions. We have to do actions, and that's what it's all about. So why does Shavuot not have an action, the only holiday that has no action? We just sit a day, 2 days, and we celebrate without any action. We're going to understand on a deep level what was the whole ceremony of Matan Torah and Har Sinai, what was going on over there. We think that Matan Torah was a time Hashem said, no more playing games. I'm giving you rules. 613. Until then, we had only 7 mitzvot. You know that, right? 7. Hashem said, from now on, 613. You know, when the new principal comes into school, takes over, no more playing games. That's it. We're going to buckle down. Teacher, do this. Student, do that. That's what we think happened. You had a few years of comfort. You were taking it easy. Now, no more. From here on, there's going to be rules. Everything. Every step of the way. We wake up in the morning. You have to say modani. You have to say brachot. You have to wash your hands. Rules, 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 rules. There's even rules how to tie your shoes. Did you know that? Right shoe, left shoe. Everything is going to be a rule. Men have a little more. Women have different ones. But we're going to be rules. That's what we think it's all about. And that's why many times we feel a burden. Who wants rules? Why do I want more rules? Can you imagine the government coming out with another 613 rules? You're going to be excited or upset? I would be very upset. And we take this book of law and we start dancing. Ashreinu matov chelkeinu. We're excited that we got... What are you excited over? A book of rules. What is this all about? What is the excitement? Okay. So let's explain what the ceremony of Matan Torah, what was it all about? What was happening? Before Hashem gave the Torah, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go down to the Jews and give them a speech. Men alone, women alone. The only time you find them was separate. Why? Because he wanted clarity and to speak to each one their language and they should get it clear. No mistakes. Okay? We want to speak to the men language. We want to speak to the women language. We don't want to confuse it. If you're going to speak to the men women language, they don't know what you're saying. Speak to the men language, they're going to need the therapist. Come down very hard on them. Okay? We need clear to each one their style. What was the message that he gave over? The message he gives over. Kotomar, this is what you should say. You should tell them like this. Ve'ata, now, im tishmu'u bekoili, if you will listen to my voice, to my message, ushmartem es berisi, you will keep my treaty, you're going to be special to me. What does it mean, ve'ata, now? Rashi says, ve'ata, im tekablu aleichem, if you will accept upon yourself, then it's going to be easy. That's what Rashi says. What does it mean, accept upon yourself? If you'll accept, everything you're going to keep the Torah is going to be easy. If not, it's going to be difficult. What does it mean, accept? The accepting was brisi, a treaty. It was a marriage. Matan Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Klal Yisrael, I want you to accept upon yourself a treaty of a nisuin, of a wedding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came together with us. He's the chasan, we're the kala. He's the chatan with the kala. And he said, I want a relationship. The whole Shir HaShirim, anyone that learned through Shir HaShirim, a lot of languages of love, expressions of love beyond words. These are the feelings that Hashem has towards us. And that's what happened by Har Sinai. Har Sinai was not a time we gave them rules. Har Sinai was a chupa. He made a wedding. He's the chatan, he's the kala, come, I want to marry you. What is the difference and what does that help? And I'll explain to you very simply. You have a girl, she's 20 years old, 22 years old, and she's ready for marriage. She wants to start dating, okay? The father wants to teach her what marriage is all about. Calls her into a study with his wife, with her mother, and explaining to her exactly what marriage is all about. And he says like this, listen carefully. My dear daughter, from here on, you will have no more freedom, no more independence. Until now, you could do whatever you want. Go where you want, come where you want. No problem, you don't have to answer anyone. From now on, You're dependent on your husband. You can't do what you want and what you want. He continues and says, until now, when you prepared a meal, you prepared yourself a meal. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, yourself. From now on, till the end of your life, you must prepare at least 2 meals. And if you have children, you'll have to prepare more. 2 meals, 2 portions for breakfast, 2 for lunch, 2 for dinner, no matter what. No such thing as skipping a meal. If you were hungry until I opened the freezer and took something out, no more. You got to have a meal on the table. After each meal, you will have to wash all the dishes. You will have to clean the table, sweep the floor, mop it at least twice a week. You will have to go shopping, go to the grocery store, go to the butcher shop. No good? Wait. Savlanut. Okay. Whatever.
Watch
you live and does it, okay?
Watch you live.
Whatever you need to do, okay? And he's throwing on her all the responsibility. Now, this girl is going, her husband's going to kolel. You know what they do, the men? The men are learning. Who makes the money by us? Do you know what goes on here? Who makes the money? The woman makes the money. She goes to work. He tells her, by the way, all the money that's going to be spending, your money. You're going to have to go to work and work the whole day. I don't care how tired you are. You got to do it. And then he talks, continues giving all the rules. You always have to say hello to him. How many times a day he calculates. He's going to come home about 3 times a day. 3 times 365 is 1,095 times 70. And he goes on and on. You can never go separate plate. You always have to go together. You will lose your last name. Even if he has a funny last name, you'll have to keep his. I don't care. And he goes on and on with all the rules. You will have to bring children, raise them, get up for them at night, take them to school, prepare their meals, take care of all the needs, take them for lice check. I don't know if you have lice check by you. Take them for PTA, take them to camp. Then you'll have to marry them off. You will have to invite them after they get married and take care of them. They will never say thank you to you, ever. And you'll have to tolerate. The only thing they'll say to you is what you didn't do for them. Okay? That's what it's going to be, and that's what it will be. Because it's 2025, you won't get a thank you from them. Okay. He goes on and gives them all the rules. Then you go to the nursing home together, and that's how life is going to look like. He turns to his daughter and says to her, are you ready to commit to marriage? And you know what she says? I'm ready to commit suicide. Okay? Now, what is this girl not understanding? What are they missing? They're missing the understanding that the responsibilities is not something that stands on its own, but rather a result of the marriage. What's happening is not now you are taking upon yourself responsibilities. That's not what's happening. What's happening now is marriage. There's going to be you and your husband, and you're going to be very happy together, and you're going to be in love with your husband. And when there's love, you're willing to do anything it takes, whatever he needs and whatever the family needs. That connection you want, because no one wants to be alone. You want that connection. The connection will give those results, and she has no problem. If it's rules, nobody wants rules. But if it's rules, that's a result of falling in love with a husband, no problem. I'll follow any rule you want to do. I have no problem. You could see sometimes a couple that are in love, that are close to each other, they'll do anything for one another without a problem. What do you want? I never liked tomatoes. You like tomatoes? I also like tomatoes. How did that happen? Because it follows the connection and it follows the relationship. They wait to give. They want to give. There's no regretting. There's no burden. That's all it is. Hashem says like this. I want you to understand that when you come to Har Sinai, what's going to happen is a relationship. It's not going to be throwing upon your book of rules. We're going to have a good relationship. It's going to be me and you, Klal Yisrael. I'm the Chassan and you're the Kala. We're going to have a good, tight relationship. All the rules that are going to happen afterwards is just going to be a result of our relationship. The rules that we have is not there to stifle us, but rather to allow the relationship to stay tight. And I'm going to give you an example. We have rules, we have a dress code, tzniut. Why did Hashem do that? What does he care if we dress free the way we want? Why does he have to make us dress certain ways even though it's hot outside? Because he wants us to be part of his family. What is Hashem's last name, by the way? Anyone knows? You don't know his last name? No? Did you pray this morning? Ata Kadosh Vishimcha Kadosh. That's his last name, Kadosh. You know Mishpachat Kadosh? Kadosh, that's his name, Shimcha Kadosh. Therefore, Ukedoshim Bechol Yom Yalelu Chasela. He wants us to stay part of his family, and family Kadosh dresses Bekedusha. So we don't say, oh, the reason why I have to dress this way, oh, I feel choked, I feel stifled. No, it's simply a result of the beautiful relationship that we have. And when you are part of that family, then it has to follow the rules of the family. What goes on is simply a marriage. Shavuot is not about a book of rules. It's a relationship. It's a marriage. It's an anniversary. We're reigniting the marriage again. And when you feel that relationship with him, then you'll do anything with him. I work with marriages a lot. And when I hear a woman calling me to complain about all the jobs and the chores she has, you know what I tell her? There's something wrong with your marriage. Because in a good marriage, I'll do anything in the world. That's happiness. I'm here to do. When we have a good relationship with Hashem, of course, I'm in love with him. I married him. He's my husband. I'm in love. I'll do anything in the world for you. Because when there's love, it will follow everything else. It's brought down, Anile Dodi VeDodi Li. We are in a relationship. It's not just about a book of rules that are being thrown on us. It's about a relationship. And when we follow that relationship, then it's good. So Matan Torah Har Sinai Shavuot was not the day Hashem took the Torah and said, here, you got to follow the rules. That's not what happened. It was a ceremony. It was a chuppah. And we put flowers in the house on Shavuot. Why? Because the chuppah has flowers. It was flowers and it was beautiful. And Hashem said, come, I want to marry you. I want to be a part of you. I want you to be a part of me. With that feeling, we're going to have a good, tight excitement for the rules. Why? Because I'm not just following the rules for the sake of rules. I'm following the rules because that's what works for my family. That's how we get together. And this is the excitement that we have between one another. We thank Hashem for the rules. Why? Thank you so much. Thank you. We do what we're supposed to be doing, not to follow the book of rules, but rather reignite that marriage in the anniversary that we have. We're going to look at Shavuot this year as a time of reconnecting, as an anniversary. We're celebrating the marriage. We're celebrating a relationship. You know why there's no action of a mitzvah on Shavuot? Because we don't need anything. It's all about the relationship. It's us and Hashem. That's it. That's the only thing that goes on. There is no action. We don't need anything because it's an anniversary, it's a marriage, and that's what goes on. But I want to add something. Listen carefully. Before you get married, what's going to want us to have this marriage? Why do we want that relationship? When you want that relationship, you'll do anything for it, anything in the world for it. What would make us want that relationship? Before a girl dates, she gets a resume. They have that by you resume for the boys? They don't do resumes by you? Just find each other. Okay. No problem. No resume? Everybody knows each other. Just make race. Who? And they make the peers. Okay. What? Everybody knows everyone. Okay. So forget the resume. You know each other. Why would you want to marry a boy? Because he's good. He's impressive. He's nice. He's kind. He's giving and so on. You know, we have a resume. You look through it. Oh, looks impressive. What does the Yetzer Hara do? What does he do for us not to want to come into this marriage? You know what he does? He paints a negative picture. He paints a negative picture. He makes a person see only the bad. There's a lot of pain in the world, correct? There's a lot of pain. But a person that sees only the negative, why would I want to come into marriage with him? The number one before Matan Torah, before you get into marriage, you want to hear, tell me good things about him. I want to hear nice things about the boy. He's kind, he gives, he's gentle. And if the Yetzer Hara paints a negative picture, then we will never want the marriage. Why would you want to get into a marriage where the boy is not kind? So all he does the whole day is showing us the negative, Rahmana Litzlan. We think of sick people, now, a lot of sick people, but how many healthy people are there? That we forget sometimes. We forget to see the positive. We have problems. Yes, there are some tzarot and we cry for them and we do and we try the best. But if we only meet him in Rifa'enu Hashem, heal us. If that's the only place we meet him, he's going to seem as negative and not exciting to be with. We have to meet him in the good. We constantly have to see the positive of what he does and all the good. We meet him sometimes only in the negative. We meet him on October 7th. That's when we meet him. Do we meet him in all the other thousands of times that he saved us, took care of us? There's thousands and millions of Arabs that want to kill us that are living around us, and he saves us from them every single day. Yes, it happened one day, October 7th, very sad, and we cry about it. But is that the only place we meet him? If we meet him in the positive, we're going to want him and we're going to connect. We have to talk about the positive. Yes, sometimes a plane crash happens. I want to start a magazine, a newspaper of all the good news. Today, 20,000 planes landed. Wow, nobody's going to buy it, by the way. Nobody's going to buy it. It's not exciting. Everyone likes negative news. We want to have a magazine, a newspaper that has positive words, positive. And we want to meet Hashem in the, of course, pray to him in the pain, but meet him in the good. David HaMelech, the whole Tehillim, he expresses his pain. The whole Tehillim is a book of pain and excitement. Ow, thank you, ow. The whole Tehillim goes that way. Of course, he turns to him and he cries to him, but he's also constantly meeting him in the good and he's seeing every single good possible. We walk around and we complain. We wake up in the morning, we see a rainy day. Oh no, a rainy day. By the way, did you know that rain is good? We need rain. I was once in a gas station filling up gas. And it was raining for 3 days straight. Raining and raining. And the gas attendant comes over and starts filling up gas. And I say to him, good morning. And he says to me, good morning? No good morning. I said, what's wrong? He says, rain, rain, rain. I say, okay. I say to him, you know, no rain, no food. No rain, no drink, no rain, no wash, no shower. So he stops. He goes, oh, rain is good. More rain, more rain, more rain. Bad. Everything's bad. We have to see the good. Instead of seeing the negative, we have to see the good. We see around and we see so much good. Everything he does is beautifully calculated. You know, did you ever think about it? During the summer months, the leaves come go onto the tree, and in the winter, the leaves come off the tree, right? Also by you, it does that? Why is that? Fall? Why do the leaves come off in the summer, in the winter, and go back up in the summer? Anyone knows?
The ground.
The ground what?
The ground.
Why?
Fertilizes the ground, the leaves.
Yeah, it makes such a mess. Come on, think. Why are the leaves on in the summer and off in the winter? Excellent. What do we need most in the summer? Shade. What do we need most in the winter? Sun. Isn't it a beautiful world? We don't even think of it. By the way, it's simple, very simple. By the way, there's a tree called evergreen. You heard of evergreen? You know what evergreen is? It's a tree that always has the leaves throughout the year. You don't know what evergreen is? It's a straight tree that has branches that go like that. Why do they have the leaves the whole year round? Because evergreen is not meant for shade. Shade, the trees go that way. Evergreen goes this way. Evergreen is made for privacy. You want to have privacy. And privacy, you need the whole year. So the leaves never come off. It's such a beautiful creation when we look at it and we appreciate it. People complain. People that have jobs complain. People that don't have. I go to office and I'm sitting there. Oh, work. Oh, when is my break? When is my coffee break? When is my lunch break? And if you don't have a job, you're going to complain that you don't have a job. It's all about complaining. Instead of seeing the good, there's so much good. There's so much positive. We have to see the positive. And when we see the positive, We're going to want to have that relationship with him. And the home has to talk positive about Hashem. Look how good. We like news. Most news will be negative. Oh, this happened and it played. Yes, 9/11 happened. You remember 9/11? Some of you remember 9/11. 9/11 was a very frightening day. Very scary day. But you know how many planes reach their destinations? You know how many planes do not go into buildings? When you see the positive, you're able to live happier in a positive way. Otherwise, we're going to have negative. We want to have a relationship. We don't want to look at the book of laws that just I have to, because then it's going to be difficult. And we have to give over the children over and over, not about this is what we do, this is what we don't do. It's not laws. It's not government laws. Don't go through the stop sign, stop at red light, don't drive here, don't park. That's not what's going on. It's not laws. It's about a relationship. It's a relationship. Every husband and every wife have certain things that they need. I would like you to do this, and I would like you to do that. And if there's love, there's connection, it goes over very, very well. We want that connection. We have it. And one more thing we need badly to keep this relationship tight. We have to, you know, when you want a good relationship, you take walks with your husband. You walk with him. Once a week, twice a week, how many times? You have to walk, you have to take walks, you have to be together. You want a relationship with them, you have to take walks with them. And that's what you're doing now. You're getting together to be close to him, to hear about him, to talk about him. Part of the relationship is having that closest to him, and then we feel it closely. We want to be able to do the right thing, and we want to be able to feel that we want to do the right thing. Nobody wants the children thinking your children are sitting around the Shabbat table and inside their head they don't want to be there. Of course we want our hearts. And Hashem wants our hearts as well. It's not about the actions we do. It's about the feeling of closeness towards him. Because the mitzvot were not given to us to choke us. The reason why we have to eat kosher, why is that? To give us a hard time? Huh? You ever see how they travel? They don't need to take any food with them. Everywhere we go, special restaurant, travel, we travel with food. Half of the trunk is full of food. You travel that way? Because you can't eat. By the time you're done, everything is all over the place. I don't know how to pack it up well, but it's a mess. And they travel clean, no problem. Why does he do that? Because we are elevated and we have to remain part of his family. How do we remain part of his family? Everything that goes into a person has an effect on him, positive or negative. So he wants us to eat certain things in order for us to stay pure and to stay the way we're supposed to be staying. Why do we have Shabbat? Once a week, can't do anything. You could look at it, oh no, I can't do anything. So annoying. I wish I could have more freedom. That's one way you could look at it. Or you could look at it, it's an opportunity of developing a relationship with him. I have time, we could spend time together. What is a husband and wife? What do they do by Sheva Brachot? You know what they do? Nothing. Nothing. You spend time together. Once a week, Hashem says, I'm going to give you a day of doing nothing. Don't do anything. Why? Because when you do nothing, then you could connect. Look at it positive. It's a time to relate. It's a time to connect. Every mitzvah we have Pesach. Of course, we can't eat chametz, and we have to clean the crumbs, and it's work, and it's wet. True. Okay, your cleaning lady does it, whatever it is. But it's not easy. It's a hard time for everyone. Why is it? To give us a hard time? No. He wants us to realize that he takes care of us. He took us out of Mitzrayim. So it reminds us in certain ways what happened. Do this and don't do that in order to feel that relationship. Look at every mitzvah as a way to feel and develop a relationship with him. Why do we sit in the sukkah? Anybody knows why? Because what?
Because
excellent. Excellent. Hug and protection. We leave our home. Home is always security. You know, when you leave, call me when you get home. Your mother says that, your grandmother. Call me when you get home. Home is always safe. Hashem says, nah, I am security. Leave your home. Go into my house under the heavens. I'm going to secure you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to show you that I'm the one that watches you and I'm the one that protects you. Oh, wow. Now it's a beautiful mitzvah. It's a way to express that relationship. Everything starts from the feeling of a relationship. Every do and every don't do. We can't speak Lashon Hara. Why? It's so exciting to speak and to have fun and say whatever you want. No, we can't do that. Why? Because he wants us to be pure. His family up there, Mishpachas Kadosh, has certain behaviors. We have to follow the rules. And Mishpachas Kadosh doesn't just speak bad things from the mouth. Every rule we have, what to look at, what to talk, what to listen to. When you listen to something, something that's wrong, where does it go to? Your ears? Where? Where does it go into? Your brain? Your brain hears? What hears? Huh? Yeah? This girl knows everything. She knows everything. Did you know that? What talks to you, by the way? Lips talk? These things talk? Meat talks? Talks? When they bring the meat out, they bump it together. It's going to talk? What's talking? Did you know that? What smells? This thing sticking out of your nose smells? Does it smell? The neshama smells. It's not nothing else. This doesn't hear. This doesn't talk. This doesn't see. Rav Shach, I was by Rav Shach many years ago, and he said, Shef, take an eye, hold it. An eye doesn't see. What sees? The neshama sees. Not the brain. The brain also is just a vein and some meat and some fluids. It's all the neshama. And the reason why it tells us to keep our things pure, mouth, ears, nose, mouth, why? Because he wants our neshama to stay pure. If you speak the wrong things, hear the wrong things, look at the wrong things, where does it go into? It has an immediate effect. We all know the eyes are the windows of the soul. He knows it all. Well, eyes are the windows of the soul. And if you see something wrong, it has an effect on the soul. And he wants us to stay pure. He wants us to stay perfect. Come to Shavuot this year with the understanding you came here together. You came to grow, the most beautiful thing in the world. Coming together to grow, there's nothing more special. Because we all make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone has challenges. As long as we're walking the face of earth, we will have challenges and we will have difficulties. But one thing Hashem wants, he wants us to grow. If you make mistakes, it doesn't happen. Why? We have two teams within us. What are the two teams? She's unbelievable. Are you the Rabbitson? Okay. We have two teams in us. One team called the Yetzer Hara and the other one team called the Yetzer Tov, right? Two equal teams, similar power. When you have two equal teams, what's going to happen? Sometimes this one will win, sometimes the other one will win. Impossible for one to always win. You have two teams that play baseball. You have baseball by you? No baseball. What do you have?
Soccer.
Okay. Okay, so what are the soccer teams in America? I don't know. But baseball is the Yankees and the Mets, okay? You have two teams, impossible that one will always win. Because when there's two equal powers, sometimes this one will win, sometimes the other one will win. If you make the Yankees playing against some hater boys, you know, schoolboys, fifth grade, then Yankees against Yankees, then they'll always win. But as long as there's two equal teams, one is going to win, and the other sometimes, and we have two teams in us. And we don't get upset, okay? Now the other team won. It's okay. But one thing Hashem wants from us. What is it? Always to grow, to try. You know when the owner of the team gets upset at the player? If he says, I don't care if I lose. I don't care to play. That's when he gets upset. As long as he's trying. Even if he makes a mistake, it doesn't matter. He wants us to try. And that's what you're doing. Getting together, trying to grow, learning more and understanding. It's the greatest thing possible to do. And the Malachim are dancing up there. And I mean it. I really mean it. Every time we look for a way to grow, they dance up there. We don't see it. If we would see what goes on up there, we would not have any challenges. We think, oh, group of ladies came. You came to grow. What else is it more important in the world than wanting to grow? Again, don't be scared if you did something wrong. That's part of life. The only people that don't make mistakes are who? Who doesn't make mistakes? People that are 6 feet underground, exactly. Only the dead. If you're walking the face of earth, you will be making mistakes. That's a fact. There's nothing to do about it. But one thing we got to do, we have to always battle and battle and battle. As long as we battle, he will accept us and he wants us and he'll give everything good. Hashem should give you all the berachot in the world. Ruchniyut and gashmiyut, everything you need. Happiness. Nachas from one another. Nachas from yourself. Nachas from your children, those who have. And those who don't should have at the right time, the right one. Everything you need, Bezat Hashem. But remember, I want the home to be a home, not that we do certain things. A home that's married to Hashem. That type of home. I want it to be a marriage. I want it to be a relationship. And then all the mitzvot are going to follow beautifully. You'll do it. Why? Because that's what my lover.
My husband.
Everything. It's all about the relationship. You feel those feelings towards Hashem. And that's going to follow every single world we do, Bezat Hashem. And then the children for generations to come. Yes? I'm going to answer you why. Should I answer you why? You want an answer? I'll answer you. Want me to give you an answer? Okay, I'll answer you. Listen to this. She wants to know, why do we have so many rules? Why do we have so many rules? Why does it have to be so complicated? Why? I'm not understanding. So why can't I be what? Do whatever. Why we need rules? So many rules. Listen. Sure. Excellent. But I want to explain, you're saying excellent, but I want to explain one thing. If everyone could just give me another minute, this is very important. You could eat, enjoy your food, but just 1 minute. You listening? Okay. Listen carefully, guys, listen carefully. She's asking, why do we need so many rules? What are all these rules all about? Whoever, someone's asking, doesn't matter. I'll tell you the answer. Okay? So you have a 12th grade student, very smart, extremely bright, graduated 12th grade. He's going to Harvard. You heard of Harvard? Yeah. Harvard University. Top. Bright. Okay? Harvard University. First day, orientation. You know what orientation is? Welcome, half day. Everyone gets the package, and they get the book of rules. Book of rules for Harvard. Harvard, listen carefully, has a lot of rules. A lot of rules. You have to do your homework. You have to do research. Dress code. Come on time. Do you know someone told me, either Harvard or one of the other colleges, you get no second chance if you fail a test. They have a right to kick you out if you fail once. Out. A lot of strict rules. Everyone following? This student goes to Harvard. Okay? He comes home the first day, orientation, and he's holding with him the book of rules. He's going home, and his neighbor goes to a different college. You know, you heard of Harlem? Yeah. Harlem. Huh? What's it, you know? Huh? They know what it is? Low life. His neighbor, listening, he meets his neighbor who goes to Harlem College. Okay, now listen carefully. Harlem, bad neighborhood, low life, Jim. Harlem College has no rules. One rule Harlem has. You know what the rule is? You listening? Do not kill the teacher. The only rule. Okay, now, I want to ask you a question. Is this student from Harvard jealous of the student that goes to Harlem? What do you mean? He has no rules. He's free. Tell me why not? Why is he not jealous? As he's studying in his attic, studying research, his friend is outside dancing, having a good time, running the streets, and he's studying, not jealous. Why? He has rules, a whole book of rules. What rules? He understands that the reason why he has rules is because he's worth more. He's more valuable. He understands that the doctors over there are going to cure the most complicated sicknesses. The lawyers will be sitting on B court cases. The accountants, they expect more. There are more rules. From him out there, they don't expect anything. That's why he doesn't have rules. Okay, I'm going to give you another example. I don't know how the gas stations work by you. We have three different types of gas. We have regular, super, plus, and super. You also have that? Yes. 87, 91, and 93. You know what that is? Yes. Okay. So you have a very... Who's the super meant for, by the way? The expensive gas. Who's that for? What kind of cars? Better cars. BMWs, Audis, they need the best gas, okay? The cars that perform need good gas. So imagine This man buys himself a beautiful BMW 750 series convertible. Whoa. Pulls into the gas station, opens his window, flips out his credit card, and he says, fill me up, super, best gas, okay? On the other side of the pump, you have an old car, broken down car, a car that everything makes noise besides for the horn. You know that car? Okay. So he goes, and he goes to the gas station, and he goes, fill me regular. Listening? Mr. BMW watching him filling up regular. Is he jealous of that man? He's saving money. Why is he not jealous? Because he understands that the reason why he's filling up super is because he is super. When you buy an, I'll give you another mashal. You're going to get this. When you buy an outfit, beautiful outfit, right? Very expensive, made out of silk. Every outfit has a tag that tells you the washing instructions, right? And it says, the more expensive, the more X's. No wash, no dry, no tumble, no iron. Dry, clean, organic only. Okay? Your friend buys an outfit she found online for $35, 100% polyester. Wash, dry, do anything. And she's jealous. Oh, man, I have to go to the cleaners. And she could just wash it anyway. You jealous? Why not? Because you understand. The reason why you have rules is because this is quality. And quality, you got it? Now, if we realize our quality, of course we have rules. Not because Hashem says, I'm going to choke you. I'm giving you rules because it fits you. It fits who you are. He wants us to stay clean. We are quality. We are pure. He wants us to be pure. And that's where the rules are coming from. We have to know first our greatness. And then we'll take the turn out happily. If we don't understand our greatness, choked. Mr. BMW does not understand that his car is a nice car. He'll be very upset. Why do I have to pay so much money every time I fill up gas? There was once a celebrity, a famous man, who was being interviewed. They asked him questions. You know what a Bentley is, right? Bentley, expensive car. So he was, and one of the questions they asked him is why does he not have any tattoos, right? He did not have any tattoos. Why don't you have tattoos? So you know what he said? Listen to his line. He said, I never saw a Bentley with a bumper sticker. You got it? I'm a Bentley. That's it. Now, when you know you're a Bentley, when you know you're... The line, he said, you know what a bumper sticker is? How do you say bumper sticker? Ah, they're a magnet. You know, when kids come from camp, by us, they have a camp. It goes on mommy's minivan, not on Tati's Lexus. So he said, I never saw a Bentley with a bumper sticker. I'm a Bentley. I'm clean. I'm nice. Meaning when you understand your quality, you take the book and you take it happily. When we first have to understand our quality. We have to understand that he wants our relationship. Now we'll take the rules happily. Otherwise, oh no. Why do I have to do this? Why can't I do that? Nothing that he tells us is to choke us ever. He doesn't say, I'm going to bring you down to the world and choke you. You can rear this. You have to do this. That's not why. He does it because we are quality and he wants our relationship. When we have that right mindset, we'll take it happily. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Hashem should give you... Not to feel the difficulty.
No, not to go up the stairs. Everybody, every family has one.
The one kid that goes off. So there's it's a very wide question. It's a very difficult. She's talking about kids that go off. It's a very. You know, no one knows the reason why they go off. You can never say because there's many reasons. But one thing we want to know, okay? She says, what's the best way to avoid children from going off? over the dam. So two things. Number one, it's not a quick answer, but the number it's very complicated. Number one, you want that bumper question. If you have another week, we could talk about it. Okay. Number one, a relationship, a good connection with a child is very, very important. You listening?
Yes.
Connection. Connection is the most important thing in a marriage. Connection is love. What is love? Love is connection. When there's a good connection relationship, most children will follow what the parents. Love does not mean, I love you. That's not what love means. Love means connection, relationship, closeness. When there's a good relationship, they will stay. Number two, we want to drop frustration. You know what frustration means? How do you say frustration? Even if you want to educate them, but don't get, what's your problem? Don't do that. That they run away from. We want closeness, and you could point out, you're doing this wrong, I have to do that. But drop the frustration, no frustration. A good connection, no frustration. I say education, not frustration. Okay? Want to educate them, but without any frustration, and give them happiness. Children do not walk away from a happy home. Again, there's always this complicated neshamot that are coming down. These are the leftovers, the end of all the neshamot that are coming down our generation, and sometimes it's just complicated. You can't do anything about it. What we could do is to have a good relationship with them, be close to them, educate them in a positive way, not get angry, even if they do something nuts. It's okay. Help them get better, and then there'll be Mashiach be'ezrat Hashem. Hashem should bless you all. Yes. Absolutely. It's the end of the old neshamah. This is the end of generations. All the leftovers are coming out now. It's complicated. The Sfarim talk about it. It's very complicated. Whatever happens, happens. We have to try our best. We're going to do our best, and that's it. But we have to be calm, and we don't be afraid to do chinuch. Oh, if I be mechanech, my kid's going to run away. Never. If it's not done with frustration, you could say anything to your kid. Don't do that. If you yell and get angry, frustrated, then they get upset. Say it. Don't be afraid to be mechanech. Some people say, oh, can't say anything. Chas v'shalom. Be mechanech, but positive. You can't do that. It doesn't fit you. It's not your standards. Whatever you want to say, positive and closest, and be metziah b'zat Hashem. Hashem should give you all the blessings in the world, and we should be zochah to get the Torah happiness, and you should all have all the best in the world.